Hi, Adam Beverly here. Welcome to my podcast series called Making the Cut. I hope to give you a glimpse of my songwriting and recording process and what it takes for me to record and release an album. All right, hey, welcome to episode 4. This is really cruising along. Episode 4 has a very special title to me. It's called Kill Your Darlings, No Thank You. Kill your darlings is one of those sayings I've heard many times. We've probably all heard it many times. So I did a little Googling to find out where does this saying even come from. It turns out, as far as I can see, that a guy named William Faulkner, an American writer and Nobel Prize winner, originally said, kill your darlings. And then a little more Googling on top of that, and I found on writerslife.org that it basically means to kill the things, to get rid of the things that mean the most to you. In writing, it's often that line, that sentence, that word, that story, that character even, that you think makes the whole story cool, but actually really has no meaning or no relevance to what's really going on. As a songwriter, of course, I know that some songs are better or more important or more fun or more cool or more liked than other songs, but there's always that one that I just love that everyone else said, really? We're going to play that one again? Or really? You're going to put that on your album? So I thought I'd take you on a trip on my last 3 albums, from Back Chorus to Radio's Navigation and to my latest album, Take Forever, to tell you what my darlings are, show you those songs and show you the things that I think are just the coolest thing, even though they're probably not. So let's get in our studio time machine, if there is such a thing, and go back to the year 2013 and hear song number 7 from Back Chorus. It's called Little Souvenir. Let's check out the intro here. Here comes darling number 1 from 2013, Little Souvenir. In fact, it turns out that all of my darlings that I'm going to present in this episode have really long intros. Maybe that should have been the first sign for me. But there's something about that intro that I just like. I like the in the background and the distorted drums. But the thing is, after that cool intro, I sing the chorus. And then after the chorus, I sing the chorus again. But luckily, at 1 minute and 27 seconds after I've sung the chorus and finally got through the first verse, I actually say a bad word. Well, I guess it's a bad word for me. It's not really that bad. It could have been much worse. I say the word hell, and I say it like I'm whiny and maybe a little wild, at least as wild as I can get on this album or in my songwriting in general, but it's just one of my darlings. Check this out. I know that when I get a little whiny like that, the chance in hell, that it's not always the best experience for the listener, but sometimes it's just fun, and that's definitely one of my darlings that I could have considered ditching, but I didn't. If we move on to the solo section, it is one of my true musical darlings. A great solo section, amazing bass line by Toke Knusmark, with a transition into the verse again. And it's just one of my darlings. Check out this solo section from Little Souvenir. Yeah, and right here, it probably could have ended, but I keep on going, which is probably another reason why it's one of my darlings, because it's maybe a little long, but I like it. Okay, and here comes the part I like. And that is Little Souvenir, one of my darlings from the 2013 album of Back Course, and it lives on the album. If we move on to 2016, when I released the album Radios and Navigation, which was totally different than Back Course, a very acoustic album, a very mellow album, one of the songs on there, my darling, is called Don't Look Me in the Eyes. Again, in this song, I say a word that I don't normally say. I don't even really say the word in speaking, but I say it in the song, and that's kind of fun. We'll get to that later. But let's start off with some of the chords I use. It's kind of an interesting chord. I use a major seventh, and if you're familiar with how seventh chords are built up, then that would make sense. If not, it's just a cool chord, often heard in jazz. I'll say that again. It's often heard in jazz. Not in my genre, but check it out. We sing that chord, me and Viper. I kind of got ahead of myself there. Let's hear the whole section where we sing eyes, 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 don't look me in the eyes, and then we end on the C major seventh chord. So let's hear that, and then we'll end in the section we just heard. And there was that C major seventh again. But let's get to the word that I say in this song, Don't Look Me in the Eyes, that I don't normally use. And I get to say the word baby. And actually, I don't even know who I'm talking about in this song. Okay, of course I do know in a way. But I say the word baby. I don't call my wife baby, but I say it in the song, and that's kind of fun for me. It feels like saying a bad word, and that's why it's one of my darlings, because it's just not a bad word. But let's hear it. Take you out tonight, baby, please don't look me in the eye. And then, just to drive my baby home, so to speak, I say it again in a chorus, where I say it a little louder. Here it is. I know that baby is not a bad word, but it's fun for me to use words in songs that I wouldn't normally use in speaking. There is one part of this darling song of mine that I am really, really happy for. It's one of the verses where I really enjoy the way I turn the phrase and the rhyme, where I say, we cannot hide the things that are not hiding in our eyes. And that's just one of my darling phrases. Check it out. Keep this life we live alive, 'cause we can't hide the things that are not hiding in our eyes. So please don't look me in the eyes. So that was my 2016 darling, Don't Look Me in the Eyes, from the album Radios and Navigation. If we move on to 2019, just last month, I released Take Forever. And on Take Forever, I have a darling too, of course. And I actually come to realize that my darling names are also kind of interesting, too. This song is called Do You Remember Lane? I played it for one of my good friends. He's a very musical friend. I respect him very much. And he was really captured by the intro. Oh, I like it. And you can hear that intro playing in the background now. And then his expression kind of changed. And then he listened through all 5 minutes of the song. And at the end, he said, that was interesting. And that's when I realized, there's my 2019 darling, Do You Remember Lane? It has a very long intro. I have a couple guest musicians on the song, Mess Corydon on bass, and Jacob Jensen from Esberg on guitar. And we'll start by listening to the first verse and the second intro. That's exactly what I just said. The second intro, where we're all basically playing one note all over the place. And then when I start singing, I sing on one note. Let's check it out. Darlin' number 3 from 2019, Do You Remember Lane?
On the strong, time is always here right now. Shrouded in the wind, why and how? Traffic patterns backed up freeways. We're all renting space, looking for leeway through it all. As we come and go, comes a trip down.
Okay, there is more than one note in there, but not many more notes than one. But if we get to my darling section on the song, or should I say my darling sections, that would be the pre-chorus. The pre-choruses, because there are two each time the chorus comes. The interesting thing about playing my songs for people is that they can hear it's about specific things. I played the song for my dad this past summer in his house, acoustic, on his awesome little guitar. And when I finished it, he said, "Oh, I know where that is." Oh, he actually knew where it was I was talking about. So maybe it's partly his darling, too. But check out the pre-choruses that are very specific of time, place, and situation.
I used to know a little spot, a curve in the road. In the summer, it was crazy hot. Walk out to the edge, look over the shoulder. A view of a town that changed as I grew older. I'm not sure if it's shrink or I grew. It's the only town I ever really knew. The only thing I remember for sure is the only girl I ever got there was her. Let's enjoy.
A big strategy in songwriting is to write songs that make sense for many people, songs that tell stories that allow the listener to apply their own lives and their own story to the song. When I realized that I'm singing about a specific curve in the road, and then a specific girl at that curve in the road in a hot town, I realized, ha, this is probably one of my darlings. And then, just to drive that home, the next pre-chorus is basically just as specific. Let's check out Darlin' Pre-Chorus number 3 and 4 from Do You Remember Lane on Take Forever.
I remember it still. The sky was clear, the stars were bright, the dreams were real. We both looked up, made a simple plan. Why it didn't work out, I still don't understand.
I think one of the things that makes a song my darling that I should have killed but I decided not to on every album is that I do something different. And at the end of Do You Remember Lane, I feel like I get this big sing-along chorus that I just get to yell out and sing. I took some words from the chorus and split them up, and then I just start singing them, and it's just fun. So here's Darling from 2019, Do You Remember Lane, the ending chorus. Here we go.
Sun September.
So, William Faulkner, should I have killed my darlings? Maybe I should have, but I didn't. It's actually one of the things on my albums that makes it so that I can still listen to my albums. I look forward to hearing these darlings out there, and I think, I hope, I believe, I try to convince myself that these songs contribute to the album in some way. So, thanks for listening. That was episode number 4. We'll be back next week with a special guest in the studio. So, see you next week. Bye.